You're listening to the Pavecast, a podcast from partners for automated vehicle education to illuminate the world of AV technology. Learn about Pave and its mission by visiting www.pavecampaign.org.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Pavecast. Today, we are interviewing Iran Ofir. He is the CEO of Imagery, one of Pave's new members. So we are really looking forward to hearing from them today. Welcome, Iran.
Thank you, Caitlin.
I think just for our listeners, let's start with a little background on Imagery. Maybe share some information on how Imagery came to be and how your business has evolved since the start.
So Imagery was founded in 2015 and basically as a computer vision startup for retail, and then pivoted to automotive in 2018. So the company is based, is headquartered in San Jose, California, with development offices in Haifa, Israel. And Imagery is doing mapless autonomous driving software. We have two types of customers. One type is tier ones and OEMs in the automotive industry, to which we provide the software modules or the entire software stack. And the other type of customers are public transportation operators, to which we provide autonomous buses. The company is currently around 115 employees deployed across a few offices.
Fantastic. Yeah, a couple of weeks ago, I had the pleasure of visiting your San Jose office to see Ruth and take a demo in one of your vehicles. So that was wonderful. One of the things that is interesting to me that really differentiates Imagery from other companies is the mapless element of your technology. Can you talk a little bit about what that means and how it differs from more traditional map-based approaches?
Indeed, being mapless, or HD mapless, as we call it, is one of the unique differentiators of Imagery. It was a decision that the company took from the get-go not to rely on pre-prepared HD maps, as most companies in the autonomous driving domain use. It has mainly three advantages. First of all, cost. Without that need to procure and use HD maps that are being transmitted continuously to the vehicles, and you don't need to update them, and you update the maps all the time, and you don't need to maintain that incremental cost. So one thing is the cost. The other thing is that without that need of getting all the time continuously a map into the vehicle that tells the vehicles where to drive and how to drive and what is it that the vehicle will find on its way. Without that need, you don't need to have a high bandwidth communication channels all the time to the vehicles, which is, again, both cost and reliability. Because when you're getting into a tunnel, or you're in an area of network congestion, or you are in a rural area, again, you don't have that type of connectivity. And being mapless means that the vehicle is self-sufficient and is not dependent on that communication. And the third thing, which is becoming more and more important, is cyber. So again, a vehicle that is continuously receiving its driving orders from an external source is prone to cyber attacks. And with more and more cyber protocols and procedures and frameworks in the autonomous driving domain, it is very important that the vehicle would be isolated, will be self-sustained. And with that mapless approach, we are much safer because the vehicle is not driving by some external guidelines or guidance that it's getting, but is driving like we drive, like humans. Basically, what we see is how we drive. So that's some of the reasons. It used to be that only Tesla and Imagery were mapless, meaning not dependent on HD maps until something like 3 years ago. And luckily, more and more companies now are joining that direction. And we hear it also from OEMs and tier ones that are coming to us and telling us that they came to the conclusion that the way forward is being mapless because it's just not sustainable for them to maintain HD maps. So we are very happy that we took that that approach from the get-go.
That's a really interesting point that you bring up about cybersecurity. It's something that I've seen becoming more and more of a concern over the past several years. So, well, you already answered my next question, really talking about the advantages of mapless technology. Now, what about conditions like rain or snow or maybe unfamiliar areas? Do those present challenges? And then, you know, how can you ensure reliability and safety in those types of situations?
So another advantage of being mapless is the ability to drive in new locations almost without training, which is, again, a unique differentiator of imagery. You can see companies that exist for a long time driving only on in three or four areas that they've learned and mapped. Whereas with the imagery technology, because of two reasons, one is being mapless, and the other is the architecture of our solution, of our platform, which is based on distributed neural networks, meaning it's based on many small neural networks that are doing learning and understanding of different objects on the road, like traffic lights and traffic signs and pedestrians and parked vehicles and moving vehicles and so on. So for these two reasons, imagery could drive in new locations almost without training. Now, when it comes to rain or fog conditions, weather conditions that are harsh, first of all, we should say that from regulation perspective, in most countries in the world, currently it is not allowed to drive in such conditions autonomously. And only now we can see countries approving kind of the first level of autonomous driving, like autonomous parking or highway basically autonomous driving level 3 and so on. So first of all, it is dependent on regulation. But if we'll dive deeper, we need to understand the philosophy behind imagery's solution. We believe that a vehicle should drive and behave like a human, meaning our perception is built to mimic the way that a human is seeing the environment, and our motion planning is built like cortex, like that part, you know, in our brain that is responsible for the decision making while we are driving, for example. Now, so the system is built in a way that if it come to a conclusion that the conditions, the environmental conditions around the vehicle are not suitable for autonomous driving, it will request the driver. Because we're currently talking about level 3, right? So there is a driver by the wheel that is expected to intervene in a case where there is a need. That's how all level 3 autonomous vehicles are behaving, like Tesla and Mercedes S-Class and BMW Series 7 and so on. So if the vehicle, if the system, if the platform decides that it, the conditions around the vehicles are not of safe autonomous driving, it will request the driver, to hold the wheel. So that's this basically how the vehicle will behave. And obviously there are safety mechanisms that are deployed in the platform to determine what are those thresholds that are defined as unsafe, for example.
Can you talk about any specific use cases or success stories where imagery's technology has been successfully deployed?
So we are currently, we managed in the last year to gain customers with all three types of customers that we wish to have. Tier ones and OEMs and public transportation operators. So with tier one, we signed by mid 2023 We signed an agreement with Continental, one of the leading tier ones globally. And with Continental, we launched to market autonomous driving, which will be applicable to all vehicles, from entry-level vehicles all the way to premium vehicles. That solution is built on is based on Imagery's motion planning, neural network-based motion planning system. So that's one example where we are working together with a tier one in order to populate, to distribute basically our software across different vehicles at different price levels and so on. Another example is of us working with a large Japanese OEM that I cannot disclose currently its name because, again, of confidentiality reasons until it will be available to market. So we are driving in Tokyo with autonomous vehicles. We are currently the only autonomous driving company in the world that can drive on both sides of the road. Meaning because of our unique architecture, because of our mapless technology, we could immediately, almost immediately, within a week, move from driving on the right-hand side of the road to the left-hand side of the road, which is pretty unique in our domain. And a third example that I would give is by getting the recognition of Transdev, which is the world's largest public transportation operator, operating in 22 markets around the world. We were selected, we were authorized, certified as a provider for ATS, for Autonomous Transport System. It took us a long time to earn the recognition of such, you know, a large public transportation operator for our solution of autonomous buses. So I'll stop here with these three examples, but obviously there are more.
That's fantastic news to hear about your recognition from Transdev. And something else that stuck out to me, you know, as a human driver who drives on one side of the road, I simply cannot imagine switching to driving on the other side of the road. So I imagine, you know, that presents some unique challenges, and it's really cool to hear that Imagery is able to do that. Now, we kind of covered on this next question, but we talk a lot about how important partnerships are in the AV space. What are some examples of the types of businesses or entities that you work with, and how do those partnerships work?
Yes, partnerships are very important because the automotive industry is huge and there are so many players, and you have to form the right partnership. So I'll give, again, maybe three examples. So one example of partnership is something that I've mentioned before, is Transdev, right? Partnering with a global public transportation operator as Transdev in order to deploy autonomous buses worldwide is one example. Another example is for working with NVIDIA. So we, in fact, in the autonomous buses, we implemented the NVIDIA Drive Orin, basically, meaning the automotive grade computing of NVIDIA. And basically, we were one of the first globally that implemented the automotive grade computing of NVIDIA in a vehicle on the road, which is, again, a very important partnership for us. A third partnership is, again, I will take another. Well, obviously there is Continental, right? It's a partnership right there, working with various OEMs in order to deploy the joint solution, the joint platform that is being developed by Continental and Imagery. And the fourth example is working with a bus manufacturer. So we are working with Autocar, one of the largest bus manufacturers in Europe. They manufacture nearly 5,000 buses per annum. So we are working together with them in order to basically migrate their electric buses into autonomous buses. So that's Again, another example.
All really interesting. It sounds like Imagery's got a number of really exciting partnerships and projects in the works. So moving on, what do you think the next few years looks like for Imagery? What do you hope to accomplish? And how do you envision the future of autonomous driving evolving over this time?
So we believe that, in fact, autonomous public transportation will be deployed in a wide scale even before passenger vehicles, because of two main reasons. First of all, even though it sounds as counterintuitive, deploying autonomous bus is simpler than deploying the same technology with a passenger vehicle. Because autonomous bus, first of all, is limited in speed. Within a city, it can drive only up to 50 kilometers per hour, whereas with a passenger vehicle, you can obviously get to much higher. So that's one thing. The other thing is that autonomous bus or shuttle is driving in a geofenced area, so it's not going anywhere, right? It's driving the same course, the same line of a commercial public transportation operator. And the third thing is that when you are deploying autonomous driving technology in passenger vehicles, typically the cycle in the automotive space between a design win with an OEM and putting that vehicle on the road is something like 3 years. Whereas with autonomous public transportation, we can bring an autonomous bus on the road within something like 3 months after installing all the equipment and after doing the training and the calibration and so on. So for that reason, I believe that they will see, and we already see 22 markets around the world that are currently doing pilots of autonomous buses. So probably in the next 2 years, we'll see many countries, and we see it currently in Europe, in Japan, and in the US, that are deploying autonomous public transportation. And then from something like 2026 onwards, we'll finally see what's called SDV vehicles, software-defined vehicles, getting on the road, which means that the passenger vehicles will basically become computer on wheels, to which we will upload and download applications that we will pay for. And based on those applications, this will determine basically the performance and the functionality of the vehicle. Now, when this gets on the road, again, 2026, 2027, depends on the manufacturer, we will see much more autonomous because one of the main capabilities of SDV, of software-defined vehicles, would be autonomous driving capabilities. So first of all, I believe that we will see public transportation being deployed in mass scale. And then 2-3 years afterwards, we'll see a mass deployment of passenger vehicles. And Imagery indeed follows in our business plans that prediction, I would say.
What an interesting road ahead and very exciting. So moving on, at PAVE, our mission is to help educate the public about AV technology. So from your perspective in the AV ecosystem, what's something that you believe the public should understand? Maybe that's a common misconception that you see. What educational tidbit would you pass on to our listeners?
So I would argue that autonomous driving vehicles are much safer than regular passenger vehicles. First of all, we as humans, we do not see continuously 360 degrees, 300 meters and so on around us. We don't have that capability. And that's a capability that every autonomous driving vehicle has, regardless of the technology. So that's one thing. The other thing, you know, there are all these articles and criticism in the media about, you know, accidents that happen, for example, with Tesla vehicles and so on. But I would argue that if you take the same millions of autonomous miles that Tesla vehicles drove in the US for the past 2 years, and if you will let humans, human drivers, drive the same amount of millions of miles, I would argue that the number of accidents would be much higher than those of Tesla vehicles. So it's easy to criticize basically accidents that are being performed by autonomous vehicles. But again, the number is so small and across so many millions of miles that are being driven that definitely from statistics point of view, driving autonomous vehicle is much safer, and it will be safer and safer because the more autonomous vehicles will be on the road, the less exposure is on the road to human mistakes. Human mistakes, you know, people are being tired or agitated or whatever. And, you know, autonomous driving vehicles don't have those faults.
That's a great point. You know, I see these days a lot of distracted drivers too on cell phones and changing the music and whatnot. So that's definitely something to think about. So we've made it through all of our questions in record time. Thank you so much for all of your insights on imagery and on the industry. And certainly in the show notes, we will make sure to link to more information about imagery if our listeners want to learn more.
Thank you for having me. And please visit the imagery site. We have also a channel on YouTube, and you can see autonomous driving for yourself.
Thank you for listening to the Pavecast, hosted by Partners for Automated Vehicle Education. To learn more about this and other topics related to automated vehicles, visit our website at pavecampaign.org or follow us on your favorite social media at pavecampaign.